Can I ask you now about, say, the men in the family? Where did any of them participate in the troubles during? Can you go back that far? I mean, can you? Were there stories in the family about the troubles?
Yeah, my father was on the run, and there was a local lady. Actually, my father and Jimmy Butler and John Tyndall, the three of them would have to go up into the mountains and hide when the split came, Fianna Fáil,
Oh,
you know,
Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah.
And my father never stopped talking about it around the table. I'm sure Pat, if he was here, he'd laugh at that. He never left it, actually, never left all that. And he always said only that he had Mag Hennessy, and they would come down from the hills and she would look after them and give them food, and they'd have to go again. So my mother wouldn't have saw my father for different times.
Yeah.
And she, unfortunately, I don't know, maybe that's when she went to the mill. She would have to kind of go to work because there was no work. There was a lot of big divisions in our little parishes.
And if I might say, there was a big division between Jack and his brothers, because one went one way and the other went the other.
One would be Fianna Fáil and the other would be Fine Gael. And my mother used to get afraid of them fighting in the house. It was, it'd be fairly rough now.
And before he was married, when this split came between him and one of the brothers, he came and lived with Katie and Joe, my grandparents, for a short while. The granny always had a long tablecloth, you know, the plastic one.
That's right, yeah.
Down over the thing, and there was a rung on the middle of our table, as there was on everybody's them days. Yeah. We all had wooden tables with rungs on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the big tablecloth came down. So I heard everything I ever knew sitting on the rung under that table, and it was the only place I ever knew where I came from, who I was, or anything else.
And Jean, was it the same with you? I mean, did you have the same
experience? My father would talk more when we'd get a half an hour from Swiftbrook for our lunch, and from one to two. And he never really left the troubles. He was always very sentimental and would really cry that so many things went wrong.
What went wrong now?
Well, trying to get work. And how hard he got it. And I don't know if Mr. Tyndall and the others got the same, but he seemed to be very annoyed
Was he not left in here to Swiftbrook?
Oh, he was. Oh, he was in Swiftbrook, all right. But that was probably towards the end, and which I can't remember years. But up to that, because there was a split in
family.
Not really the families, the 1916 and De Valera and all that, he just didn't seem to get work around.
Oh, was he was a De Valera man. He was out and out IRA.
Yes.
And did he stay active after the Civil War?
Not that I know of, but he'd be...
He wasn't in the Colonel
in
1945.
No, and so. He wouldn't agree with when things got the way it got. Everyone was being shot left, right and centre. Like, they were fighting for a cause when the split came. And it's because there was only... That's all. I'm not too sure, but there wouldn't be too many from here that had to go on the run. He'd be one of them.
And who else?
Pat Archibald.
He was a runner.
Oh, he was always an Archibald, mm-hmm. That's true. And Mike Tyndall's brother.
Mm. John.
Who else is it? Butler.
Mr. Butler.
And what did he think of De Valera?
He just thought the sun shone out and that was it.
Even later in years?
Yeah, never changed.
Did he not?
No, never. Never changed. I always think the all those men did, actually, to think that. Never changed, like it was still.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of the governments today.
What really saddened them at the time was that, you know, what they'd fought for and what they'd gone through, it all fell apart.
Rough,
and they had nothing at the end of it.
Yeah.
No.
Do you know the way the people like your dad would have made a statement for the military bureau?
Yeah.
Did your dad ever write out what happened to him? Or?
I don't think so, no. I don't. He always wanted to talk about, and he did say that he went down to the ship ship place down in
the shipyard.
Yeah, and he said it was rough, but he said people would be against him there too, that he shouldn't have been when he'd come into it. But he said when you stood up and fought with them, and he would say fist fight, and you won, they would respect you. He said when he went in at first it was awkward, but you fight your way through it. I'd say he was a tough man in his own way.
Yeah. And he was from the Free State.
Yeah, that's right.
And that didn't go down too well.
No. When you went down there, you were definitely...
Hold on now. He was Free State, so he was a Collins man.
No, he wasn't.
No.
He was a De Valera man.
But
with regards to the proddies up there... Yeah. He was from the Free State.
That's right.
And he wouldn't, Jack wouldn't have that. Yeah. He was not from the Free State. He was a De Valera's man, and he fought for his country.
Yeah.
I heard it all too, you see.
All right, let's quickly...
And there was a lot living up this way on the other side of the fence, as he would say, on the other side of the fence.
Okay.
That went for Collins.
Oh, what happened then when... a member of the family went off to fight in the Great War, in the First War.
Can I have that?
Yeah.
There was never any malice between Jack and Joe Walsh. And Joe Walsh was in my grandfather.
Yeah. And what was your grandfather's name, Vera?
Joseph Walsh.
Yes.
And Katie Walsh, she was a Duggan. And as I said, she was related to Jean's brother, Jean's grandfather. They were brother and sister. And when the division came and Jack went to live with them, my grandfather had been wounded in Ypres. He was a British soldier. He joined up in 1906. But there was never any animosity between him and Jack, although Jack was totally, we'll say, an Irish rebel, if you know what I mean. But when Joe went to join the war effort, well, it wasn't the war effort then in 1906, he probably went for a pair of boots and a coat. That's what they joined up for, and a bit teeth. But they were good friends, him and my grandfather. And I always thought it was great that they were. And of course, my grandmother loved Jack, and he'd never pass Katie and Joe. You know, and he did stay with them when the troubles was on. And, you know, they lived in this little small house as well.
Mm.
And
it's all fascinating, really, when you think of, you know, the way they took different sides and what they did.
Yeah. But you see, the different sides were always a principle with them.
That's right.
You know, it was a very strong principle with Jack. As it was with Joe... He'd get a couple of pints and he'd cry for all his buddies that he left in the trenches dead, you know, and he'd tell you about when he was wounded and all this business, but he never went into details about how they suffered, and he'd tell you about how one man, he minded your feet and you minded mine because of the frostbite when they were in the trenches, and like he could talk to Jack about that when he come home. But Jack could talk to him about his running, you know, from the Tans and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And my grandfather was attacked by the Tans at least three times when he was working in Guinness's, because he got a job in Guinness's when he came out of the army, because he was a British soldier in the army. And he only stayed 9 months in it, because three times on his way home from Guinness's he was attacked. Tans stopped him. And the last time they stopped him, the granny said, if you give up that job, Joe, I can't live. My nerves has gone worrying about you being shot.
Imagine all that.